that's what they're mistaken.
If we rise on the flag.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Dearborn County Board of Supervisors meeting, February 8th, 2022. Is there any changes to the agenda?
I have none.
We're going to meet with department heads and elected officials. Variability, payroll.
Just keeping busy with payroll. Payroll week, so I'm trying to get everything entered, but other than that, nothing new to report.
Police and Schaefer, county attorney.
We're keeping busy. We finally passed the COVID waiver deadline. There are some dismissals that the state intends to file for cases we just simply could not reach by February 1. However, once those are done, we'll be on a, as I told Tom with air quotes, a fairly normal, back to a fairly normal schedule. Just briefly on the opioid litigation, my understanding is we had between 93 and 96% participation between all of the counties and the cities over 10,000. So now the defendants in the cases have, and I believe it's February 25th, to decide if that was good enough to meet what they call critical mass. Basically, what they were trying to avoid is other jurisdictions suing them if only some settled. So we'll know probably by the end of the month whether that's acceptable to them. I think it's anticipated that it will be. So then they'll be able to start prorating those amounts to see what settlements will be. I know Ken was had emailed me. I know there's some concern at the state level about duplicating things. So maybe one of those things in the next month or so, the board and then probably the city council for Burlington, because they will also be getting some of those funds, will probably want to establish some sort of group to determine, once we know how much we're going to get, we start brainstorming the ideas of what we're going to be spending that on. And probably include Ken to make sure we're not duplicating things that the state may be doing, because the state will get a certain percentage of that money as well. And so that's something we're probably going to start looking at the next few weeks, once we know what the amounts are, getting together to figure out how can we can use those funds to best serve both the city and the county, and remembering that they can only be used for opioid abatement, whether that's enforcement of laws, diversion courts, treatment. I mean, it runs the gamut, but we'll want to start brainstorming sooner rather than later, because of course it's going to take some time to get anything up and running. And so once we start getting those funds, which I know they were initially projected maybe as early as this summer. So that's just something we'll want to be thinking about in the next few weeks. And then that all assumes that J&J and the big three distributors all agree that this was sufficient. And I think they're still waiting on one state as well, as long as they agree that that is sufficient enough to move forward.
Well, I guarantee you, the state finds a way they can keep all of it. We won't get any. The way they operate.
Yeah, they're expecting that they're going to approve it just because they're ready to get out from this.
Thanks, Lisa. Hollinger, IT.
Just getting busy like always. Nothing really new to report. So.
Thank you. Sheriff Glendenning.
Hi, good morning. No major news from the sheriff's office. Things are going well there. Jail count's also doing really well. We're at 65 this morning. One out of county due to a conflict, but we're also housing one for Jackson County still currently. So things are going well out there.
Good. Terry Johnson, county auditor. Do you have anything?
Good morning. Staying busy in the office, getting ready to, the state approved the redistricting plan, so Burlington will be reduced from nine down to eight precincts, so we still have to get the instructions on and get everybody changed over so that they're in the correct precincts, and then probably in early May we'll do a mass mailing to everybody. We did that back in 2012. Everybody got new voter registration cards or or notices of where their precincts are, but some people just must have thought it was junk mail and didn't pay attention to them. But in May, we'll send out new ones for that. And then I also need to write up a list, since we have an upcoming election in June, the June primary, to list who's all going to be on the ballot, number of signatures, important dates, and all that good stuff. So need to work on getting that on the website, so.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, come on for it.
Jared Lassiter, Southeast Iowa Regional Planning.
Morning. Just keeping busy as usual. This week, we don't have anything on the agenda. However, most likely, we'll have a minor subdivision for next week. But more importantly, however, next week, we're going to, or plan to start our the public hearings with the ordinance updates, which we've been having work sessions to discuss. Excited to move forward with that. We got worked with Terry to get the public notice out. We got the updated materials on the website and plan to, between now and next week, we'll send you all a staff report with a quick update, which includes the changes that were made following our work session discussions. Just looking forward to getting started with that next week for the zoning subdivision and the new airport ordinance.
Okay, thank you, Kurt. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Board meeting last week, the board approved your request, which I just gave you the hard copy letter for this morning, requesting ARPA dollars to use as grant match. So I'm working on that Walmart grant, getting that prepped up as due next week. With the ARPA dollars, we take that, we match that with Walmart because it's a one-to-one match, so $100,000 each. And then if we get the Walmart grant, we can use that plus some additional fundraising to get us to $150,000, and then we could apply for $150,000 from Land and Water Conservation Fund, which would then get us up to $400,000 to go towards improvements there at Big Hollow for that master plan, one of which would be expansion of the campground, which, as we know, is in huge demand. We turned away almost 100 people last year that came to the park with their camper wanting to get a spot and couldn't get it, and that's on top of the hundreds and hundreds of phone calls that we get to the office, people asking if we have sites available. So that'd be a huge one, and that would be a revenue generator. We're estimating about $40,000-ish a year in additional revenue that that could generate for us. Working on that. And the Walmart one, like I said, is due next week. And then Lock-On, Land Water Conservation Fund, is due March 15th, I believe it is. And so there's a table on the back of that letter that kind of talks about how that shakes out. So if you're willing to contribute some of that, that's a pretty good leverage rate for the one. At least that, you know, if we get more than that from our fundraising and some of the local foundations and stuff, it could be even higher.
Thank you, Chris. Janelle, down at Long Quest, how's the treasurer's office?
We are busy, but nothing new to report.
Nothing new to report?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ken Heinlein, Seal Region for Mental Health.
Good morning. Yeah, the Seal Region will have our monthly meetings tomorrow. Do a lot of business, you know, approve claims and that kind of thing. I know the region has been working on. The state now requires us to be part of evidence-based practice groups that are statewide groups. So the region's put me on strength-based case management group, which is it's kind of odd because we don't do case management anymore as county case management. The state took that over and gave it to the MCOs. But we still are required to do strength-based case management, evidence-based practice. So we're trying to wrap our heads around, well, what does that really mean because we don't do case management? Maybe some of it could be done by our jail diversion staff or something like that. And then they put me on supported employment, and we do have a group through Hope Haven doing the supported employment evidence-based practice, and so we've got a good thing going here, right here in Burlington, on that evidence-based practice. And I'm in meetings for both the statewide group and for Hope Haven to work on that. And then the other thing is co-occurring disorders, so mental health and substance abuse disorders that are co-occurring. And you know, we've got a program, Hope Haven started a program at, it's called River Cross, that used to be the Cottonwood RCF that they converted into a dual program for both mental health and substance abuse. So that's funded through Medicaid, but that also is right up the alley of that evidence-based practice. So those are three that I'm on, and then we've got other evidence-based practices that other members of our region are attending and working on. So keeping us pretty busy.
So in English, did you just say we now have dual diagnosis inpatient facility in DeWine County?
Yes. It's not quite like MHI was, where it's not a locked facility. It's voluntary, yeah, facility. But Hope Haven, yeah, can be contacted for people who have both substance abuse and mental health needs. And they contract with Young House to do the mental health side, and they contract with ADS to do the substance abuse side. And that's a program that can be funded through Medicaid too, so.
Do you know, Ken, if they've been successful in staffing that?
It's a 15-bed facility, and they've not been able to staff it to that level. It's more like 5 to 7 beds, last I heard, that they were able to fill, because they just haven't been able to fully staff it. So they're still working in that direction.
Do they still differentiate between co-occurring and dual diagnosis? Not so much.
Not so much. It's, yeah, like I said, it's not quite the same. I mean, it is very beneficial to work on both the mental health side and the substance abuse side at the same time. And they're attempting to do that through ADS and Young House, coming in and offering the treatment. Those definitions of co-occurring and dual diagnosis are a little bit different.
Different funding,
yeah. But they are meeting the Medicaid rules under an RCF licensure. It's a pretty unique, good program in that Medicaid's willing to fund it too. So
they don't get public health dollars like ADS does, do they?
ADS does get them, but I don't.
That's
think
because
they,
that's, yeah. that's substance abuse.
Yeah, yeah. So they're working with ADS, but I don't know. I think ADS is the one that receives those dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep.
Trent, do you have anything to add to the attorney's office?
No.
Keeping her in line, then that's good. I don't know. Ryan Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Back to cutting trees, doing a lot of that and making good headway. So I would mention we took a couple bids here recently. Took pavement marking bids last week. I think that's probably an example of where the inflation is in our line of work, because roughly 2 years ago, I think our bid was just under 91,000. A low bid this time around was just under 131,000. So that's about a 44% jump. So, and we had three bidders, and the two bidders were fairly close to each other. The third one clearly wasn't looking for our job. So anyway, that is the way it is. We'll get that moving. It sounds like they'll probably come in sometime later this summer, if I had to guess. And we did our rock letting, or whatever you want to call it, that the board funds out of rural services. Just did that yesterday, so I haven't had time to pull out the couple years ago bids, but it was up, but not that far. I think the total for the board was just a little under 228,000. And I think after the reestimate, Cheryl and I sat down yesterday, and it wasn't. It was about 10,000 over reestimated, but so we have seen increases. I mean, I think we're going to see more of that as we move along. But either way, we had L&W took a bulk of it, very similar to 2 years ago, and then Dowd's took the southern stuff, which is kind of down their back step. So, a couple products that are out there and private roads, there stuff that'll get done. So.
Does that leg interfere with tree cutting?
I'm sorry?
Does that leg interfere with tree cutting?
I think Colin's the one cutting trees. And he's healthy.
I think if Fowler and Walker use them, they're...
I agree. I'm a little disappointed. So.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Cheryl McVeigh, Budget Director, do you have anything to add?
No, I have an agenda item and a work session after.
Okay, thank you. Rodney Blees, Maintenance.
Good morning. Been really busy. Finished up a little project of Judge Shear's office up on 44 last week. We had the state fire marshal showed up at the jail at the end of last week for their inspections, so everything went well there. Just a couple little minor things that we'll take care of that everything passed, so we're good that way. Also had the annual courthouse and public building security committee meeting last week, so we'll have to set up a date to sit down with the board. There's some just some changes and some wording and things that we'll need to kind of sit down with the board with and talk about. So we'll schedule that at another date. Other than that, just keeping busy and having an agenda item.
Okay, thank you. Natalie Steffler, Recorder's
Office. Good morning. Just business as usual in the Recorder's Office. Nothing to report.
A lot of boat titles coming in?
Slowly.
Slowly?
I think maybe a little too cold for people to be thinking about that, but
yeah.
Yep, they do expire April 30th, so.
Okay, thank you. Chris Floyd-Miller, Public Health.
Good morning. The Iowa Department of Public Health announced this week that their COVID plans, or what they're currently doing for COVID, is going to move from response to recovery. And that kind of goes in conjunction with the governor not re-signing the emergency proclamation, which expires on February 16th. So we're kind of moving the same direction. We're kind of looking at what we're doing as far as the number of days that we're doing COVID vaccines. They are also taking down the website that tells us the number of cases plus the percentages. They're going to move that to more of the Iowa Department of Public Health website, reporting that similar as what they do with the flu vaccines and the flu cases at this point. For this week, we are at 22% COVID positive COVID cases with 249 cases. Again, I think we're moving in the downward. We're starting to trend downward. I think with Omicron, it is starting to come down a little. Vaccine rates, the same thing. They'll move that. The number of COVID vaccines will also be at the Iowa Department of Public Health website, reported like our flu vaccines. Currently, for our county, 65 and older, we have 83.2% vaccinated, and overall, we're at 50.3% for vaccinated.
Good. Okay, thank you. Did I miss anybody? I don't think so. Moving on to correspondence. Any of you gentlemen have correspondence?
I have correspondence from a citizen as curious, and they feel like it should be public knowledge that I guess at the end of this month, the hospital is letting unvaccinated nurses go, and they won't put out the number. And I agree with the citizen. I feel like you shouldn't have to put any, obviously you can't put people's names and stuff like that, but if there's an issue in Des Moines County where we're going to be understaffed because of people leaving because they're unvaccinated or whatever, we need to know the number. Is it 10? You know, is it 50? And that was the concern of the citizens. They said nobody's saying anything about how low the staff is going to be in this area. So I'm sharing that. I'm concerned as well. I'd like to know the number. That's all I got.
But it
never closed. We have one here from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. One of you gentlemen want to read this? It says, notice is hereby given that the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, going as the DNR, has under review an application for amended prevention of significant deterioration of air quality construction permits. This permit application were submitted in July 15, 2021 by Interstate Power and Light for its Burlington Generating Station, located at 4282 Sullivan Blue Road, Des Moines County, Iowa. Based upon the information provided by the applicant, DNR has determined that in accordance to the PSD regulation, the BGS facility is a major stationary source. The permit application have met the requirements of 567 Iowa Administrative Code in Iowa Chapter 33. The BG facility obtained a permit for 4 combustion turbines in October of 1992. Recently, an ambient air analysis for a different company predicted exceeds that the 1 hour NOx standard. The analysis discovered the main contributors were the combustion turbines at the Burlington Generating Station. The main purpose of the application was to establish new operating limits and emission rates. The new limits predict no exceedance of the National Ambient Air Quality Standards. Committee has low and new limits and other changes detailed in the technical support documents. An electronic copy of the materials that the applicant has submitted, the draft permits, the technical support documents, the application materials, and all other correspondence are available for public inspection on Air Quality Bureau at the website https://programs.iowa.gov/air-quality-construction-permits/page/public-comment-search-ASPX. If you get all that in your computer, you've got something done. So, in addition, copies of all the materials can be accessed at the following locations: Burlington Public Library, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources Air Quality Bureau at 509 East 9th Street, Des Moines, Iowa, an EPA Region 711201 Brenner Boulevard, Lexington, Kansas.
I think what that's about, and I'm not sure, but they were going to change the generating station here from coal to natural gas, yeah. And they can't get natural gas now. Yeah. It's there's not enough of it, so they're going to keep using coal for some period of time. I don't know. You're not, Mike, is that what you've heard, Chris?
I heard they were going to do the transition over, but I hadn't heard that.
Well, and I think this is what this is that whatever sense. They plan for, yeah. Show up. And I'm not, but I have heard that they aren't going to be going to natural gas. They're going to have to stay on coal a while longer because they can't get natural gas.
I heard the same story. Okay.
It would have been a lot easier for that letter to say that, if that's what it actually is.
I should have had Lisa read that.
We pay big bucks to learn those words.
Okay, moving on to discussion of votes. We have payroll claims, reimbursements in the amount of $162.98. The non-cashable was zero.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have a resolution 2022-07 setting the time and date for the SF 364 total maximum property tax dollar public hearing. Okay. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors hereby fixes the time and place for the public hearing at the total maximum property tax dollars. Public hearing for Tuesday, March 1st, 2022 at 9 a.m. in the boardroom of the Des Moines County Courthouse. The Des Moines County Budget Director is hereby directed to publish the notice and estimate summary as required by law. This resolution shall take effect immediately. If so, it will be approved on the 8th day of February 2022.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. You want these stamps, Cheryl?
Yes, please.
Joint Safety Committee 2080 agreement.
I believe in Rodney could probably.
Yeah.
I think they had to change this because West Burlington became a member.
Yes. Yeah, I believe so.
I think that's what the.
That's it. And everything else the same in there.
Yeah, everybody else the same. They just added West Burlington.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Courthouse front steps bid. Ronnie, you want to elaborate on this too?
Yeah, we had the bid opening last week for the courthouse front step project. So we opened them here and we had one bid from Frank Miller and Company for a lump sum price is $101,470. So we received our construction administrator. Felt they were capable of providing satisfactory insulation. Bid includes the bid bond and the contingency as directed in the instructions. Submit a bid, meets all the bidding requirements. Should be considered for approval by the board, so we recommend approval of the bid for this project.
Don't look so excited, Rod.
I think that 101. I think if they knocked that 1,000 off, you felt better, wouldn't you? $101,470.
As much trouble as we had getting bids, I'm afraid we don't accept this one. I would make the motion to approve.
I'm going to have to second that.
To accept.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. I'll tell you what, that cat's going to love you next winter. Yeah. Personnel actions. We have two from the correctional center. We'll get them together here. First one is Ruby Peterson, a new hire kitchen staff cook. Rate of $9.02 an hour. The second one is Kiana Rooks, new hire, correctional officer full time. New rate is $39,867.37 a year.
Motion to approve both.
Second.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
I suppose, since we have to vote.
Jim Carrey.
Well, I already stamped him, yes.
Jim said, let's get it on.
Good guess.
Very efficient.
Can you bring this back up to our full staffing for our correctional officers from the retired we had in January, so we're happy to have her on.
Good thing we have Tom up here to keep me straight, Shane over there.
That's your job.
Just sit by you, just sit next to you.
Okay, this one here is for local health. We got two of them.
They're two different ones.
Yeah, there are two different ones here.
Same person, two different ones.
Bridget Davis, public health nurse, on, 3.89 hours of unpaid leave. 1/21/2022. The second one is for Bridget Davis, and it's for another 3.38 hours of unpaid leave on 2/4/2022.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. This one here is for the county audit or county attorney for Tammy Taylor. Unpaid time off for the dates of 2/3/22 and 2/4/23. Total number of hours, 13.5 hours. Effective pay period, February 5th, 2022.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. I have one for the county auditor, Kathy Hausman, clerk two. Anniversary date, previous hour is $34,396.03. New rate, $35,115.99.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. I have one for secondary roads, two of them. We'll vote on both at the same time. First one is Ryan Jacks, maintenance, resignation. The second one is for Dwayne Edel, maintenance worker, new hire, rate effective 2007 of $21.27. An hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I'd like to say thanks to Ryan. He did a very good job while he was here. He took over a district that needed a lot of work, and he did a nice job while he was here, and he moved on to a different job, which was, he thought was better for him, so good for him. And Dwayne is the replacement, so he'll be running Motor Grader just north of Burlington. So just to give you an idea where that's at. So look forward to getting him in and getting him going. He started yesterday and getting him acquainted with everything as we roll into busy season coming up in March and April. So.
Okay, we have the Treasury report for cash on hand, December 2021. Treasurer semi-annual report, December 2021. Veterans Affairs monthly report, January of 2022. General Assistance monthly report, January of 2022. Recorder's report, fees collected, January 2022. These will be on file in the auditor's office. You're viewing it at your own discretion. Okay, we have a minute for the regular meeting on February 1st, 2022.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Any other business?
I have none.
Future agenda items? Okay. Committee reports. I have none. Do you have any committee reports?
No.
Okay. Public input. If anybody from the public has anything to say, call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. Or email board@dmcounty.com. That'd be dmboard@devoinecounty.com. We'll give you 2 minutes to do this. Anybody got anything to say? How about you, Tom? You're sitting over there.
Present.
Duly noted.
Rodney's done a great job of keeping snow away this winter, I think.
I agree. Nice job, Rodney.
Pretty darn nice job, so credit where credit's due.
Thank God.
You hang on another month.
I've worked really hard at it.
Well, I think if we're going to honor him for how he did this year, let's talk about the previous years. Where were you then? I'm sick of this, man.
I'll save it up to give everybody a break this year.
Last year's statistics in February weren't very good, Rodney. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. I blame the bridge, Brian's bridge, the last couple of years.
If it would have been late, it would have. You wouldn't have had that problem.
How's our YouTube going?
Dwayne,
you get more people looking.
hasn't really changed too much, so a little more today than usual.
We thought we put one in the county budget, but
no.
Make sure those cards are good.
They're good. I guess not yet.
Okay, that should do it. Time's up on that. We sure going there. Need motion to go into closed session.
Motion to go into closed session.
Second.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.